Turkey's President Recep Erdogan has launched an internal crackdown on ISIL in what is considered a significant shift in his government's stance. More than 440 people have been arrested in pre-dawn raids across the country this weekend in response to a spike in attacks claimed by ISIL over the last year. Some experts say Erdogan has been soft on ISIL and is now finally fighting back. But others see the campaign as a way for the Turkish president to brand himself as tough ahead of a proposed referendum that will give him even more executive powers. Tom Allenson reports.
Turkish police hit houses in 18 provinces across Turkey this weekend, arresting more than 440 people with alleged links to Daesh, most of them foreigners. The operation was massive, coming after a steep increase of ISIS-inspired attacks over the past year and a half. The most recent came on New Year's Eve, when a self-declared soldier of the caliphate shot up an Istanbul nightclub, leaving 39 dead. Even though Turkey has been attacking ISIS positions in northern Syria since August, it has long been seen to be soft on them.
Turkey has been a thoroughfare for terrorists going through to Iraq and Syria, and the thinking behind that in the years gone by was that the letting of militants through would destabilise the Assad regime, which was the target of the Turkish government, was to topple Assad.
Dr. David Tittison of Deakin University.
So letting them through, we also had a dual strategy of weakening the Kurds, which they were worried about, which are linked to the PKK, which is the Kurdish Workers' Party, which is a terrorist organisation in Turkey, and also destabilise the Assad regime. So it had a dual purpose. And so as a result of that, there's a perception that Turkey has been lax on security and hasn't been doing enough in terms of ISIS. And this is coming back to haunt them now with terrorist attacks.
But even though Erdogan has been soft on ISIS, Dr. Tittison says the raids are not a departure from Turkish policy. Mr. Mehmet Azap from Charles Sturt University disagrees.
Previously, it stayed out of publicly confronting ISIS. And even some of the high-level leaders in Turkey were arrested and then released quite inexplicably. Even though we don't have evidence that Turkish government directly supported ISIS, but there's evidence that they were supporting other groups like al-Nusra and other minor players. Now, with Turkey being in Syria, fighting ISIS directly in al-Bab, we are seeing that there's a more open confrontation.
What is clear from this crackdown is that Erdogan wants to be seen to be tough, because in the weeks ahead, he'll propose a referendum on new changes to the constitution, changes that would see him gain significantly more power. Dr. Tittison.
What it wants to do is it wants to abolish the office of prime ministership and create an executive presidency. Not unlike what you have, in America, where the power is vested in the president. And so basically it will place more power within Erdogan's hands and with the role which was previously nonpartisan will become, as I said, the central political figure.
But President Erdogan will need to persuade Turkey that he needs these new powers.
The yes vote in an April referendum appears to be 40% and doesn't look like it's going to succeed. So we can assume that some violence will go up or it will be highlighted more in the government-sponsored media, and there will be a crackdown on what government lists as terrorist organisations, which includes Daesh.
Mr. Azab says that if the referendum is successful, Turkey may make a turn to authoritarianism.
He could be the majority person in the parliament and also dismiss the parliament if he wants to, and do all the appointments in the judiciary. So basically, no separation of powers will be there in Turkey, and it could very well be a dictatorship. A kind of a popular dictatorship with elections that are carefully controlled by propaganda. So this is really the last chance for Turkey, in my opinion, to remain somewhat democratic.
Mehmet Özelp from the Centre for Islamic Studies and Civilization at Charles Sturt University, ending that report by Tom Allenson.